you for having me. I think they are addressing the wrong issue here, because what I did raise in that letter was about investigating specific allegations, and those were allegations were clearly stated in the letter about plans being hatched to assassinate senior political leaders and senior military officers, and the portfolio which I held, I wrote in that capacity, requiring the Director General of the Internal Security Organization to carry out those investigations and establish whether they were correct or false. Therefore, for them to come and deny before any investigations are carried out and try then to cover up by imputing the wrong motives on me, who was performing his duty, to say the least, shows some culpability. Because I would have expected them to make serious comment after investigations. No investigations have been made. They are making sweeping denials. And as far as I'm concerned, that is merely diversionary. As to whether the young man is being prepared or not, that should be investigated. But they are feelers. You do not promote a person from a private in 10 years to a general. It doesn't happen anywhere in the world. There is no war where that young man has been fighting. He's been doing a course every other 1 year before he even practices what he's learned in the previous course. The next month he's sent on another one. He's a young man of 30s, and you make him a service commander of special forces command. You do not explain, you do not pass through the laid down procedures. You abuse the law, which is supposed to be followed in promotions, in training, in recruitment, and in deployment itself, because there are specific criteria. There is criteria which should be followed. Seniority, for instance, capability, discipline, intelligence, operational, you must acquit yourself in some of these aspects of command and control. So command is not a matter of guesswork and who you love and who is related to you. And so there is no doubt that on the surface of it, everything points at something basically wrong with the way the president has been handling the issues of his son. And therefore, the burden, the onus is on him to clarify these issues and not sweep them under the carpet.
You have been asked by the government to come down to explain your point. Why haven't you gone back to, as a matter of fact, explain your letter or raise concerns about it?
How was I supposed to go back and explain the contents of the letter? Because I was going back on Saturday. I think it was the 9th or something. And then armored personnel carriers were they were deployed. They surrounded the airport. Troops, you know, from special forces, from military police, from regional police. The whole Ventevi, you know, stretch of 30 kilometers was, every inch was full of soldiers waiting for me, and tanks and armored personnel carriers and riot, you know, whatever. Everything was waiting for me. The plan had been to arrest me at the tarmac, at the runway, put me on a helicopter, fly me to a place 60 miles north of Kampala called Nakasongola. The next day, make a mock attack that I was going to be rescued. And then I'm killed in crossfire. And then they say that whom now they had already prepared that those were my rebels had come to rescue me. So there was already an elaborate plan even to eliminate me. So it's laughable for those gentlemen to come and pretend, you know, holier than thou, that they want me to go and explain. How do you wait for me with tanks at the airport? What type of reception is that for me to come and give you my story? So it was a non-starter. This was a deliberate plan to kill me in the process and cover up these serious issues which I was raising.
Does that mean that based on your suspicion of a plan to assassinate you, you will not go to Uganda anytime soon?
This these are not suspicions. These are not suspicions. This is circumstantial evidence. That is what we call circumstantial evidence. The circumstances point to that. Because the way the government reacted initially, wanting to arrest me, preparing crack units. I wasn't armed. I was coming from London. I was on British Airways. I was going to land like an ordinary person. People who have no sinister motive could have even allowed me to go home and thereafter arrest me or call me to headquarters or anywhere and I appear. By the way, don't think that this is an isolated incident, because before that I had written strongly. There had been a plot by Mr. Museveni and his group to carry out a palace coup against themselves, and many generals came up. First of all, the president went and addressed his own party at a certain retreat and warned them, sort of prepared public opinion about this coup, because he knows that his son or any other person for that matter, because he is really a personal rule of a family, they cannot pass through a democratic mechanism to assume power. So the only thing would be to use the military. And then he started preparing public opinion. He went to Changkwanzi and prepared, the MPs and so on, that a coup is possible. In fact, in his first of year address, 2013, he did categorically say that the problem of Uganda were civilians. This is on record. This was the first time that a leader who came on a revolutionary ticket of a people's struggle, for the first time I had such a leader say that the problem of Uganda were the civilians. And I quote him, "Of all these problems we are having, it's not the army, it's not the military forces, it's the civilians. And in this coming year, I will deal with civilians decisively." I quote him, got his presidential address. It was absolutely stunning that a president can say that the problem of Uganda are civilians. So they started preparing public opinion. After that, his Minister of Defense went to a parliamentary committee and talked about it and said, yes, the military would take over. After that, they called the Chief of Defense Forces. They coerced him. He didn't agree with that stand. And then he went on TV and warned the whole country that, yes, the military would take over. And they had already prepared a plan, which I will not go into now. Also, within that plan, was to carry out a purge of people who did not support this so-called project of his son and family. And by so doing, they would achieve two things: use extrajudicial methods to capture power, but also remove any, whatever they considered roadblocks, those characters whom they thought, those people whom they thought that they were going to oppose this project. So this one, we talked against it, and I'm on record. I wrote a very long article warning the country and those in power that this was going to be very dangerous and it would cause serious instability in the country.
One thing they have been saying is that you have been erratic and you have not been a real army man in the true sense of addressing issues of the army within the army rank and file. And
I was not employed. My job description was not within the rank and file. I was head of security services. I was head of intelligence services. And I was under president's office, not Minister of Defense. That's my job description.
But they are saying that the allegations you are making about a plot to palace coup, it's too wild.
It does not matter what you think. This is a matter I said should be investigated. It does not matter whether you think it's wild or not. I'm not making them as categorical. I'm saying these were issues which all were known. They could be false, they could be true, and I demanded for investigations. What was wrong with that? So how can you come and blame someone who is performing his duties and demanding that you investigate specific allegations? What is that logic? I don't understand it. These are wild allegations, so they should not be investigated.
Some of your supporters are saying President Museveni and some of his loyalists could come after you. Others are saying, no, there's a judicial process in the country and that you need to defend the letter, among other things. Do you fear for your life at the moment?
Of course. I do not only fear for my life. I know it has, for a fact, that I do not want to go into all this because the things I have told you are things which I wrote in my letter, and others are all these things which I'm talking about are also a subject already of the ongoing debate in the country. I have deliberately not commented on matters which have come to me in the course of my duty, but I can for sure tell you that there have been several times when these attempts have been made, not only on me, but on others. So for as a matter of fact, I can tell you that it's not only my life which is in danger, but lives of many leaders in that country, because the political system has broken down. There is anarchy, and there is panic, and there is fear within the political fabric of the state. And the only way to rein in all these upcoming voices of dissent is through force and repression. There is no science about that. This is the elementary way any repressive regime works. It resorts force and intimidation and murder. Otherwise, why would you deploy anti-personnel carriers and tanks and so on against an armed person just written his letter requiring that you investigate issues?
Now, General, you worked directly under President Museveni, as you said. Why didn't you go straight to him and ask him if this project is indeed true? So why didn't you just go to him man to man and ask him about this instead of writing this letter?
Okay, let me explain this. Man to man is a different matter. If I was saying that President Museveni in that letter was going to do this, then that would have become an issue between me and him. But where suspicion has been raised as to the intended actions of a group, you demand for investigation. You do not resort to personal. So I would have gone to the president and I say, sir, I hear you want to kill people, and it ends there. This is how you work. That's not how things work. This was an internal correspondence between chiefs of intelligence. The fact that it was leaked has nothing to do with me. This was my job to say the following has come